हमने देखा, हमने पाया, शिव भोला भगवान।
कितना मीठा, कितना प्यारा, शिव भोला भगवान, शिव भोला भगवान।
हमने देखा, हमने पाया, शिव भोला भगवान। कितना मीठा, कितना प्यारा, शिव भोला भगवान, शिव भोला भगवान। हमने कितना प्यारा, शिव भोला भगवान, शिव भोला भगवान।
If I understood it correctly, I was asked to share my thoughts and experiences with you of yoga. Whenever I think of yoga, or whenever this word is mentioned to me, I always have a picture of someone absorbed in an ecstatic state. State of bliss, or of one who has become self-luminous, whose experience of body and whose touch with the environment has totally been lost, who is stabilized firmly in the self and experiences the self to be a luminous being. Light, or of someone who is vibrating strong waves or rays of might, spiritual might. These are the three visions which the word yoga brings to my mind. So, how to attain this? This is an experience which I think most of you had, not once, but number of times. And this is the real sustenance in our spiritual life. If we don't get these experiences, then our stage is weak. There may come in our life certain storms, and we may feel disturbed, feel shaky. This kind of experience gives us a firm footing, firm foundation. How generally we are able to have this kind of experience? If I had among my audience some new people who were just being introduced to yoga, it would be easy for me to tell them. But before me are sitting yogis, experienced yogis. So to speak on this subject unto yogis is a bit difficult thing. But I will try my utmost. I think there are mainly 8 or 9 factors which lead us to this stage. And if we miss this kind of experience, for a number of days, number of months. There are certain gaps and lapses in our life, and we very much wish to have experience, but we do not have. Then any one of these factors is not working properly. Baba has defined and explained yoga in various ways. There are other people, other schools of thought also, who have dilated so much on yoga. But there are certain things which are common to all. Certain elements you will find are common to all. Out of them, these 7 or 8 which I would mention in this evening's talk are to my mind very crucial. They determine our stage of mind and whether we can have that consummating experience, that blissful state of absorption. Now I am not telling these in a particular sequence or order, but just as it comes to my mind. One of these is faith. Faith gives us firmness, a stage of stability. It's very important. Many things come in our life which try to shake our faith. This has happened with all the saints and sages, even in the past. When, for example, we read the New Testament, Christ, Jesus, after having had fast for 40 days and 40 nights, had temptations and tests. His faith was tested. It is mentioned very clearly that the temptress came and he said, "Oh, you believe in God. You have faith in God Almighty. You think that He can help you in all ways. Now look, here is the top of the mountain. Go there. Jump from there into the valley down below, a very steep valley indeed. And see, let me see how He saves you." And so on and so forth. There were 3 or 4 things which came to Him to test His stage, His faith. I don't mean to say that He went to the top of the mountain and practically jumped and proved by that demonstration that God helped him. But He gave very wise answers. When we read those answers, they are not human. It seems He was touched. But the faith should not be shaken. Ever since I also came in this Gyan or in this institution, I have had so many tests of various kinds. There are many kinds of tests. One of the tests generally we have to face is that scientists always come with new ideas. We had a conference of scientists and spiritualists in Greece, in Athens, and there some prominent authors who were very much being talked about during those days gave a talk on quantum self. They had also written a book on this subject. This was altogether a new idea, a new thought. They wanted to establish it on the basis of quantum physics, that there is no soul as we believe in it, something eternal, immortal, which is of light, a child of God, which takes reincarnation and so on. But it is a quantum phenomenon. they wanted to prove. And they were considered great intellectuals who had their theories and supported by the modern science. But what facts you have to counter them? You have to face them. Recently, you know, in the book World Drama Paul II on Soul, Matter and God, I have said that this Big Bang theory is without scientific foundations. I have raised many questions about it. After a lot of study, having gone through so many scientific books, scientific literature, I did an article on it, saying that this Big Bang theory, which is being very much talked about, is wrong. And about 3 or 4 days ago, you know, in CERN, which they have the physical laboratory on physics, where they are studying fundamental physics, particle physics, they have been able to have that primordial soup in which the quarks and the pulsars and others, they are now able to form. And they are coming to prove that actually there was Big Bang. That is why it is not the world is not stable. It is expanding. It is an expanding universe. So they are trying to establish that theory. Whereas Baba tells us something which is quite contrary to this. Who is right? When I saw Sakar Baba, he was never a student of science. But there were revelations which he gave. And what we believe in is based on his revelations. So is it that all these things shake our faith? Many such like things have come in my life. I am generally interested in things which are based on physics, mathematics, philosophy, history, and such other subjects. And if someone on the basis of logic or philosophical reasoning is able to corner me to prove that what he says is correct, I have to accept, unless and until I have an adequate answer to what he is saying. But even in those cases where I did not have an immediate response to what people would say, I had an inherent feeling in me, always it was there. There is something wrong which human beings are saying. What God is saying is correct. Take the case of our world drama. We have 2 pictures, one of world wheel and the other of Kalpa tree. And therein it is said that the Kalpa will end year 2000 is mentioned. And we are now coming to year 2000. We are already in year 2000. And we know that golden age has not come. So is Baba wrong? Or still we have the same faith without it having lessened even an iota, even a little bit? I believe what human beings say is wrong. Because what God says has so many reasons behind it. It has a big background, sometimes which we do not know. Even when I was mentioning about that experiment of Big Bang, I understand there will come a time when they will think there is a flaw. In what they said, it is wrong. When we read the books on astronomy, we find the theories in astronomy have been changing at least once in 10 years. They have been very much changing. So also this would happen. When, for example, they landed on moon, thinking that there are rivulets, there is water on moon, and since there seems to be water there, there must be some living beings. So they thought there are other worlds, extraterrestrial worlds. So at that time also Baba said, it was with a great conviction I remember, Sakar Baba when he said, Shiv Baba, when he said through Sakar Baba, that there are no other words. Tell them that we know by means of yoga, by means of revelations, why you are spending so much money on this, making so much efforts. When a very big part of this world is in poverty, in disease, in squalor, you are wasting money on this, you see. And you know that afterwards there were the news that they were not able to find any sign of life. They brought some pieces of stone, some other things. They tested them in the laboratory number of times with the hope that there would be a sign of life, if not today, ever before, on moon. But they were not able to have even a trace of it. That came to be true. Similarly, take the case of 2000 years. Even Christ, they say, was born 4 BC. What do I mean? Christ was born 4 years before Christ. You will say, you have become crazy, Jagdish, by what you are saying. It should be 4 AD, not 4 BC. You will try to correct myself. But if you read the Christian literature, lot of authors have written on this. They were wrong in calculating, and it has been established that what we are now considering as BC, we are calculating from a particular date of the birth of Christ, which actually had not occurred in that year from which we began to count. Even about Buddha, you know, they say 2500 years or more than 2500 years ago, whereas we say 2250 years. Who is right? After I listened to Baba, I read a lot of literature of Buddhism and many books on history and found that there was a lot of controversy. Before that, I had also studied about Buddhism, various thoughts. People already had some controversy. But I had thought that there would be controversy of a few years. But controversy to the extent that there is a difference of hundreds of years, I had never thought. But when I read it again, with this point of view, because people generally asked me, how you say, have you ever read history? How you say 2250 years? When Dr. Radhakrishnan was the president of India, they celebrated in 1 year the 2500th birth anniversary of Buddha. The whole world, in Ceylon, in Burma, in India, they were celebrating. While our charts were showing, our posters, that only 2250. Who is right, who is wrong? So I have been finding that Baba has been right. If you have tested him once, twice, three times, four times, five times, this has been your experience, that these are the revelations. One who is giving us this knowledge, teaching us this yoga, he is a perfect being. He knows the past, the present and the future. There is absolutely no doubt about it. No, we can challenge, you see. It may take us some time to give them proper arguments, to formulate certain answers in an academic fashion. But there is no denying the fact that what Baba said was correct, is correct, will be correct. And what people have been saying is not correct, has not been proved correct. Later on, they had to confess that there was something wrong in it. So also I have to say that this is one thing which gives us stability. If we change our faith every fortnight, we can't become yogis. See, our faith has to be unmitigable faith, firm faith, unshakable faith. That is one factor which we must have. And Then the other is love. Love. The most important thing is love. Because when this love became distorted, it became polluted. It became degenerated. It was then that there was the fall of man. This love got transformed into sex lust, into greed, into attachment. And the result of these three was pride and also anger. It is because of these. In the Gita also it is said, kaam, krodh and lobh, sex lust, anger and greed. These are the three doorways to hell. What about the other two doorways? Have they been closed? Ego and also anger. So these have not been mentioned. It is because the basic is love, perverted love. So if we want to divinize our love, spiritualize our love, and want to become yogis from bhogis, the only way open to this is love. And we can't have that luminous stage, as I was saying, that stage of bliss, or that stage of ecstasy, that stage of Narayani Nasha, that spiritual intoxication. The word intoxication is actually not very good word, but we generally use it. Because anything toxic is not good. You see. So why to have this kind of toxicity? So, it is love which is the great cementing force. It is this which leads us to absorption. If we are lost to this world and we are somewhere else, it is only by means of the ladder of love. If we can't sit in the aeroplane of love, we can't fly that high into the sky. So if we just really want to become angels or have a self-luminous state, then love is a very important, very potent, and very effective, very successful way of being a yogi, getting that kind of experience. That kind of experience, which I mentioned in the very beginning, is really marvelous, wonderful. Nothing can stand in front of it, because it is unequal to anything, nothing is equal to it. So if we want to have that kind of experience, then we have to have this divine love, this spiritual love, pure love, love for Baba. Or now love is always seeking some relations. Love does not exist without relations. It is either between a brother and a brother, or between a son and a mother, or between a father and a son, or between a friend and a friend, or between a student and a teacher. There are always relations. And in those relationships, there can be love. Love always requires some substratum, something to stand upon. It cannot float into the air. It must have some base where it can stand. And relations are the carriers of love. Without that, their love could not exist. So therefore, Baba has been saying, establish all your relationships with me. Unless and until we have all relationships with Shiv Baba, I mean all spiritual relationships with Shiv Baba. Very often we say, Baba, Baba, Baba. So we are very much, now accustomed to this kind of relationship between child and father. When we talk of ourselves and Baba, we very little talk of other relations. Like sophists, Sufis, they talk of Sajani and Sajan, you see. God and his paramour, the soul and his God as his paramour, or as his beloved. So, those kinds of relationships are also equally important. Because then the love is full-fledged. Otherwise, it is not full-fledged. Part love for Baba and part love for other things. If there is part love, then the experience also would be part experience. It will not be full experience. If you have experienced that kind of thing, then you are totally lost. There are people in the room. There is table. There is microphone. There may be video camera. The lights are on. There is a stage. There are some sofas on it. And you are not aware of anything at all. You are aware of only Shiv Baba. Can we have that kind of awareness? Full-fledged awareness. Full-fledged consciousness. We generally talk of soul consciousness or self-awareness, but we don't emphasize how much awareness. We sometimes say this thing is old, but how old is old? Even a 2-year child is said to be old, though it is not old, you see. So, is the case here, see. When we talk of awareness or consciousness, fully conscious of Him, your mind is focused on it. You are aware of nothing else what is happening. Even an elephant passes before you and you do not know that it has gone, you see. I don't mean to say the elephant may crush you under his feet and you still remain unaware of it. You see, then you will never be aware of it. Because the awareness will be totally lost. And talking of stage of yoga. So in that stage, we have, even then, there is some kind of awareness. People sitting before us, they should appear to us to be luminous, angelic. Baba also said, when you practice meditation, when I talk of constant meditation, nirantar yogi, then Baba said, okay, you have been body conscious for so many lives and you can't forget the body. You find it very difficult to be completely detached from your body and to become totally forgetful of your body. I understand your difficulty. So what should we do? So in order to tell us a solution to this, Baba said, okay, even if you remember the body, you see the body, you see the angelic body, self-luminous body. You must practice this. If you are speaking to somebody, just try to practice that this one is made of light. And in this light, there is another being in it, encased in it, embodied in it, which is like a flame, like a star. But the body also is made of light. There is a halo, an insignia of light, round about his head or his face. If you just try to practice it, it is a very wonderful stage. While we are in the world, we are not off the world. To be in the world, we have to be in the world, even for practicing yoga. But we have not to be off the world. Should not belong to it. Should not have always the experience of it. The grass. From grass, if we can't immediately go to incorporeal, let us at least first go to the subtle, the angelic. This is a stage in between the two. It is a stepping stone for reaching our higher stage. So if we want to have that hilarious, that joyous, that ecstatic, that intoxicating experience, then let us have this. We feel very light lately. When you switch on from grass to the subtle. But this requires practice. Again and again you forget about it. You have again and again to think, this person whom I am speaking is made up of light. I am also made up of light. So, you won't fight this Akash Tattva. ether, as some people say. But you will find Prakash Tattva, the light. So here is light. What is the use of this light when you see that kind of light? Doesn't matter. So this is another factor which we have to practice. Then the other is dedication. Dedication. That we should be dedicated. Generally people say we are dedicated, and when we introduce some sister or brother who is staying at the center, working for the center, spending his total time for godly service, we say he is dedicated. This is perhaps a new definition of dedication. We generally adopt certain terms to express certain ideas. A new theory, a new philosophy, a new ideology. You always take certain words from the old. You coin certain others so that you can tell what you mean. So this is how we use the word dedication. But dedication is actually something very high. Very high. It is very noble. Very elevated. It uplifts a person. Dedication. Dedication totally to Baba. There is no other cause for which we live. It is only this. It is only this. It is only this. We live for this. We die for this. You see. That is dedication. Wholeheartedly we do things. With a great happiness. That kind of attitude of mind is dedication. We are not devoted or dedicated to anything else. We have no trammels, no attachments, no ropes tying us to themselves, but we are free from all those bondages. And Baba says, none but one. If there is only one for whom we live, for whom we'll die. That kind of dedication. So this is very important if we want to have that kind of state. Then concentration. Concentration. Actually, we very often talk of concentration in a vague way. Without understanding its full implications or how encompassing this word is. How wide meaning this word is. Concentration. We generally think of concentration of mind. And we also mention concentration of mind. But we have not only to have concentration of mind. Concentration of mind, concentration of intellect, concentration of emotions, and concentration of our remembrances, our memory, and concentration of our stage. These are various kinds of concentration. And even the concentration of mind has a number of forms. Because mind has many abilities. It can visualize, it can perceive, it can think. Mind does so many things. It has so many functions. So when we think, for example, mind has one of these functions of thinking. So in this case, in this context, concentration of mind means our thinking should not be disturbed by other intervening thoughts. Let no other intruding thoughts come. We should have control over our thoughts. I will think what I want to think. No other thought can come uninvited, without my asking, without my willing. So, this is concentration of thought. I have one topic, one issue, one problem, one thing on which I am applying my mind. And let that mind be devoted or contemplating about it exclusively. No other thought which is extraneous to it. So this is concentration of thought. Similarly, mind has other abilities, for example, visualization, as I said. And also desires. Mind desires. This is another function of mind, to desire. So what do I mean by concentration of mind? I have only one desire. No other desires. Baba mil gaya to sab kuch mil gaya. Now that I am with Baba, I am not thirsting for anything. Not running after or hankering after the worldly things. My mind is satisfied. I am completely contented. I have no desires because these are what disturb. It is they who don't allow you to be in that constant stage of yoga. Desire. Therefore, Baba says, Ichha Matram Avidya. You must avoid this. Try to control your desires. This is another kind of concentration of mind. Similarly, mind has the ability to see, to perceive. I am going somewhere and on the way there are so many things and I see this, see that, see the other thing without any purpose, without any meaning, without any goal. Why should I see? I should see only those things which are of concern to me. So there should be control over on my faculty of seeing. Now this seeing may be seeing of things outside or seeing mentally. In your mind also you have so many pictures always. The camera is always ticking, projecting something on the screen. You see so many scenes, persons, situations, events. There is no end to it. Therefore, we can't concentrate. So, if we really want to concentrate, this must be the concentration of mind. So, also the concentration of intellect, of emotions. It's a vast subject and I leave it for some other time. But what I was saying was, concentration is an important thing. The mind would try to wander away, to get scattered. It has become its very nature, because life after life, we did not control it. We had no self-control. We allowed it to run amok, here, there and anywhere. We had no reins to keep it under our control. So it has now become its very habit. We did not curb it. We did not control it. Again and again it goes scot-free, it goes this way, that way. We have therefore to control it. Therefore we have to concentrate, bring it back to where you want it to be. Don't allow the mind to go into the wild ways, the labyrinthine ways of the world, of Maya. Otherwise you get lost. There will be no end to it. Therefore Baba says, avoid waste thoughts, the leakage of thoughts. You should preserve your energy. So this will happen only by means of concentration. And when you have more energy, then your concentration will be better. It will be very powerful. So many occult powers come by means of concentration. But this is what we lack. We are busy with other things, but not with this kind of thing. Again and again we don't practice it. Whereas Baba says every 2 minutes, 5 minutes in an hour, you must come back to your this stage and think of your real original nature and of Shiv Baba. Again and again, again and again. Because previously, again and again it has been going into the wrong directions. Now you must bring it back again and again. So, this will be possible, concentration will be possible, if you practice it. Then, constancy. Baba says, Nirantar Yoga. Very many people say 20 minutes yoga per day. You go to TM, Mahesh Yogi. They say 20 minutes yoga per day is enough. You recoup so much energy. You are able to work the whole day very efficiently. Your mood also becomes happy. So they talk about their yoga in terms of this 20 minutes, maybe little more or less. But we say no, nirantar yogi. Because we have to have a yogi lifestyle, yogi life, nirantar, without gaps. If the aeroplane on the airport, on the pathway, runs constantly and takes speed more and more, more and more, then it flies ultimately, after gaining so much speed. So also, we can attain that stage of meditation which I mentioned earlier, when we just have constancy. For that we should have concentrated period of meditations, not just during the traffic control, or say, okay, today we will have 1 hour meditation. Not 1 hour meditation. Let me sit in meditation even as much as I like 2 hours, 3 hours. I may go somewhere for my calls of nature, for essential things in between. But my mind should have those thoughts constantly. They therefore remember mantra. The bhakti people, they generally say, Ram 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 Ram. So, always they can't say Ram Ram. After all, they have to, you see, the body requires some gaps. Then they have ajapa jap. They don't utter, don't speak. Inwardly, you just think Ram, 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 you see. Constant. Similarly, when you think of Shiv Baba, your mind is focused on Shiv Baba and Paramdham, where there is golden red light, and where is your most beloved father, teacher and preceptor and friend and beloved Shiva, and you think of him and him alone and nothing else, then constantly if you do this, even in one day our stage can be so high. From morn till evening, if you even one day, actually to my mind this is tapasya. We generally talk of tapasya, tyag, tapasya and seva. But this is tapasya. Tapasya does not mean 10 minutes or 15 minutes of meditation. Once Morarji Desai, then Prime Minister of India, came to inaugurate one of our spiritual museums in Delhi. And as he came, we gave him something to eat. And when he was just going to eat, some elderly sister said, "Let us sit in meditation for 2 minutes. You see. So he laughed. He said, "What do you mean by 2 minutes? I have to meditate on 2 minutes, or I have to meditate, you see. How do I calculate 2 minutes? Whether they have passed or they are still am in that period. Why you people do like this? Let me sit in meditation for 2 minutes, you see. Now perhaps we don't say this, we say let us be in silence for 2 minutes. Which means after 2 minutes, you can break up your silence and do whatever you like. Naughty things, you see. But meditation constantly, on a moonlit night, for example, you have had some rest during the day, preparing yourself for the meditation during the night. It's a moonlit night, and you are sitting in the moonlight, because the light is the closest to that stage, it helps us. Like you switch on the red light, you play a song, these are some factors which aid you to get stability in meditation. So also if you just sit there for 3 hours, 4 hours or during the whole night, you will find lot of change. Many of the habits which you could not get rid of for years, you will find they have gone, you don't know where. From London to Shaktinagar or where. you won't be able to know. They go, they leave you. Then we should keep in mind one thing, always be happy. Baba has been saying, Dil khush mithai. Always be happy. Come what may. By applying those three points, three dots, or always keeping in mind drama. Because we can't have that self-luminous, powerful or ecstatic stage if our mind is disturbed again and again. We practice yoga for some time, we experience bliss, and then somebody does something, we are very touchy, we feel disturbed, we have been insulted, somebody has misbehaved with us, something has happened, and we lose our temper, our mind is depressed, or it is offended, we are angry. Our mind being disturbed, now to become again in a blissful state, requires a lot of effort. It requires much more effort. If we rise and fall, rise and fall, rise and fall, it may, I don't know how, when we will be able to have that stage of meditation. So it is essential that in order to get that peak experience, we must keep this in mind, come what may. This is the most important thing to us, most precious thing to us. This is the gift which Baba has given us. If Shiv Baba gives you some blessing, you always would like to keep it safe with you, not to lose it, because it is God's blessing on you. So Baba's blessing on you is always be happy, be holy. So never miss this whatever happens. Someone disturbs you, misbehaves with you, or does certain things which are very wrong, very bad, you see. Or certain things happen in life which perhaps bring sorrow and suffering, loss in business. Maybe somebody has stolen our property. The government laws have changed and we have suffered. Many things can happen. But something good will come out of it. We are in Baba's hands, in safe hands. Nothing will happen. Just see. Maybe it will bring a new change in your life. Something will happen. Don't lose faith. Have patience. But don't lose Baba's blessing, namely this happiness, khushi. At any cost, you can miss, you can lose other things, but don't feel disturbed. Nothing should pinch you. You should not have a sorrowful or sad feeling. Because you, the Shaktis and Pandavas are known for Atindra Sukh, super sensuous joy. If you don't have it, Baba says, who else will have it? You are those well-known ones who have been mentioned in scriptures. So this is your birthright. Why you lose it? Another one is determination to break the shackles. That we will be great yogis. There is no doubt about it. This is the goal of our life. And we have to break our shackles once for all. Nothing short of it. We will make all the efforts for it. However great effort it may demand on our part, we are ready for it. Maybe it is a great fight. We are prepared for this great fight. It may require a lot of attention and energy. We are certainly going to do it. So this determination should be there. We should not say, perhaps it is not for us to become yogis. Or okay, if we can't become great and good yogis, let us be mediocre yogis, whatever it is. After all, we are gaining something. Let us forget about being a good quality yogi. No, no. We will certainly be good quality yogi, high class yogi. We are determined to break the mountains, to remove the obstacles in our way, in whichever form they come. Let people test us. We are ready for those tests. We are prepared to accept those challenges. because this is a chance which comes only once in the whole cycle. It's not that we get another chance. So we are not going to lose this chance because it depends upon our great future. We understand it. And since we understand it fully, how can we allow lapses on our part? No. We are prepared to make all sacrifices for this. They say, a yogi can walk on water. A yogi can walk on cinder. See. They perhaps apply certain chemicals to certain parts of the body and may be able to do it. You see. A person, they say, went to Ramakrishna, Vivekananda's guru. And he said, Swamiji, I have been able to walk on water. Oh, he said, oh, you have been able to walk on water. He said, yes, sir. Bless me. I have been able to walk on water. I crossed the Ganga, he said. He said, it took me 11 years to do that, to practice that. Now I am able to do this, to walk on water. He said, oh, you spent 11 years for this. You could have taken a boat for a few coins. You have spent 11 years for this, for crossing the Ganga. What is the achievement? He had thought that Ramakrishna would very much appreciate and encourage him. You see, maybe publicize him. But he was frustrated when he said, oh, you could have taken a boat and gone across it, you see, very easily. Why you spent 11 years for this? Not walking on that water. Similarly, certain people in villages trying to show this kind of an activity, walking on burning coal, passing through the fire. This is the fire. The tests which come. You feel the burning situation. Something has disturbed you, hurt you like an arrow. Someone has hit you with a bullet. The thing has happened which you think is something like a calamity to you. You are shaken. So this is the fire test, as they say. Through this you have to pass. Untouched by fire. Unburnt by fire. This kind of fire. Which to ordinary people may cause the burning situation, sensation. To you, it does not cause this kind of sensation. You can easily pass through it. Maybe insult, maybe loss, maybe whatever. So many tests will come. Baba has said from the very beginning, children, tests will come. Maya will test you. Your own mind will test you. Your own sisters and brothers will test you. The tests may be innumerable in your life. Pass through them. Similarly, walking on water, they compare this world and water, you know, there is water in this world. You have to go across, like that man went across the river Ganges from one bank to the other bank, just walked over that distance. Similarly, you can be in this world. Don't get drowned in it. Then it means you can walk on water. To get the ability to walk on water means you don't get drowned into the world. The worldly things don't attract you. Your mind is not absorbed by these tests, these things. On the other hand, you feel that you are away from it. You are above it. Therefore, you can walk on water. So, I have consumed my time. I would like to sum up and say, it's a really wonderful, very beautiful experience to be in that stage, which is not difficult, provided we try to apply these factors. Even if we can't apply all the 8, maybe 2 or 3 of them, love and faith, love and dedication, faith and dedication. Even if you can't apply all, just select these 2 or 3 and you will find that the rest come to you. and then it becomes easy for you to have that kind of experience, floating in that kind of experience. Om Shanti.